And now my friend Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright reflects on some teachings of St. Paul and on how sometimes our very language and mindset complicate our idea of God and religion, making it difficult for us to really appreciate what God is about.
One of the complaints we hear often today is that those of Christians don't really know their religion. They don't really understand what their faith is about. Is that such a problem? Certainly, if you picked up the Catholic Catechism, you would find that there will not be many people who would understand it from beginning to end. Religion is not meant to be complicated, but our language makes things complicated. God is not complicated. Christ isn't complicated. Prayer isn't complicated. But the more we talk about all those things, the more complicated we make it. It's the same with our love. We make relationships difficult because we talk about them. But it's also failing to really appreciate what God is really about. And we fail to appreciate it because in our world we project an alternative. In Paul's time it went a bit like this. In the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. God decided to save those who believe. But Jews demanded signs and Greeks desired wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. And what's that really trying to say? It's really trying to say that at the heart of Christ's crucifixion is not logic. It's not an answer to how the world came to be, evolution. It's not an answer to the future. It's an answer to why I'm here now. Because the first thing Christ's crucifixion faces is I'm going to die. Now, I rejoice in that fact. Many people say I'm scared stiff of dying. I like to think I'm really looking forward to it. But when you say God was crucified, then our minds can't get round it. How can God be crucified? Stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. To the Gentile world, the non-believing world, it doesn't make any sense at all. It's one step from being admitted to the lunatic asylum, that God was crucified. But to a believer, what it means is that God became man and took on the most important moment of human existence, which is our death, in order to show that it wasn't the end, to show that there was life after death. And the life after death belongs to a different order, to the order of power, and human wisdom, because it belongs to the order of God, and God is love. So the more we reflect on this, the more words we use, the more complicated we can make it. So we just come back to those two words, Christ crucified, death to life. How? Why? What? Where? Well, if my life is in the hands of God, I can trust those hands and I don't have to worry. I just have to be ready at any moment. Because, as Paul puts it, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. That is the simplicity of it. If I believe Christ crucified equals Christ risen equals my resurrection, then fine. I can suspend the rest of the negativity of my argument, whether it be from the Jewish end or the Greek end. But there is a caveat. I can forget that, and I can live according to the flesh. I can go out and seek my own personal fulfillment. If I'm a glutton, I can go and feed myself till I'm bloated with all the foods I like to eat, provided I've got the money to do it. If I like my wine, I can go and feast on the wonderful wines of Italy and France, of Chile, of Australia, Germany. I can feed on those wines and enjoy them and become besotted by them. I have forgotten the bigger picture. I've lived according to the flesh. And so with drugs, so with sex, so with everything else, I can become self-centered. And by being self-centered, I lock myself in. But if I live by the Spirit, I put to death the deeds of the body and will live. Because the Spirit, which comes to me from recognizing that I share the death and resurrection of Christ, is not a spirit of slavery. I don't have to live in fear. I have received the spirit of adoption, as Paul calls it. And the adoption is to be adopted as I am into Christ. Christ who crucified, Christ who rose. In fact, we suffer with Christ so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Whatever those sufferings are, whether they are emotional sufferings, physical sufferings, intellectual suffering, problems I cannot solve, it's with that gift of recognizing Christ crucified and risen that I can come to understand that it is a gift available to me to free me from the slavery of my frustrations and my self-centeredness. And it is a gift which will be something fulfilled after my death. And it is within that context that we recognize that what we're really talking about is that our life is not just individual, it's with Christ at a very deep level. I am part of the mystery of the will of Christ, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Because it's in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance. And that focuses ever more clearly that if my life focuses in, around, through, with Christ, then it cannot be focused with, in, and around myself. I'm being taken out of myself. I am being redeemed from the slavery of myself. And this may sound odd, eccentric, but it is the wisdom of God. Of course, if you don't accept there is God and you don't accept Christ crucified, then the wisdom of God is a phrase that means nothing. If you struggle to understand the wisdom of God, then you're struggling to understand death and resurrection, that my life is gift, that my life belongs to Christ, And the best way to live that life is with Christ, in the truth, in the way, in the place, with the people that Christ has given me. So this gives us an opportunity to refocus our attention. Yes, things may be complicated because we can make them complicated. But the message is simple. Paul urges us to proclaim the message, to be persistent whether the time is favourable or unfavourable. And he warns, the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander away to myths. Yes, there are short-term alternatives easily available, and we can be tempted to go towards them. But Paul urges us, as for you, he writes, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Because each one of us has a ministry in Christ. Each one of us, by being in Christ, becomes an evangelist. Each one of us, by being crucified with Christ, knows the dimensions of suffering. And each one of us knows that deep down, our freedom, our life, our future is in Christ. And Christ gives us the courage to bring all that together. Because, as Paul says, if we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. And in that dying and enduring and reigning is the simplicity of living with Christ, which is in opposition to the complexity of the wisdom of this world. And it is through that simplicity that we know and have the confidence that we can say with Paul, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. Amen.
You've been listening to Benedictine Abbot Timothy Wright.